And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAD, staying true to America's national destiny. Now, the voice of the awakening.
The awakening.
Your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Folks, I'm coming to you not from my own studio today. I'm coming to you from ensconced in the studios of the National Religious Broadcasters. They are kind enough when I'm in the Washington, D.C. area to give me a place to do my program. I want to express my gratitude to them. American Family Radio is a member of NRB, and they are gracious to give me space to come and broadcast to you, even though I'm not in my own home studio. And all the comforts of home, well, most of them at least, are around me. And I just want to say thank you to them. And by the way, you are listening to The Awakening here on Urban Family Talk. We are part of the American Family Radio family, sister networks to American Family Radio Network. And we want you to participate. And you can do that by calling me at 866-963-2037. I do want to hear from you. That's why we call it Talk Radio. But you can also talk to me in writing on Turbin. Just go to urbanfamilytalk.com, click on the menu button, top left-hand corner, go down to Turbin, click on that, and you're in. Or you can also just go to urbanfamilytalk.com/Turbin/, and it'll bring you right to that section of the website where you can enter your comments, you can post your memes, your pictures, your sayings, whatever. And look, we have some experts at this. Frankly, our listeners are better at this than I am. They really are. They know exactly how to do this stuff. I haven't yet mastered it. Maybe I should, but I leave it to the experts, okay? They do it exceedingly well. And believe me, if you get into the Turbin world, you're going to find the program even more interesting and entertaining. If you want to follow me, by the way, on Facebook, it's E.W. Jackson SR. That's my public figure page. My personal Facebook page is Bishop EJ. And Instagram is E.W. Jackson _ SR. I've been kicked off of Twitter, I'm proud to say, but we're going to get back on. And don't forget, standamerica.us. We are holding a special Memorial Day celebration sale for this entire week up until midnight on Monday in honor of our veterans and our active duty personnel. You can get T-shirts at 20% off the two designs that say Stand with Veterans, Stand with Our Military. You can get those T-shirts. One's got a camouflage figure of a military person. The other one's just got a plain white silhouette, but they're beautiful T-shirts. You can get one as a gift for a dad maybe who's retired from the military, or a Father's Day gift for somebody who's in the military. Or, and by the way, there's a whole lot of, I don't know how many products we've got, but it's close to 50 different products on the website. Just go to the Stand website, standamerica.us, click on the Stand store, and you'll see a whole variety of different shirts, and everything in honor of Memorial Day. Everything is 10% off, except those two particular designs are 20% off. Stand with Our Veterans, Stand with Our Military. That's four different shirts, two different designs, but four different shirts, because one is with the camouflage silhouette and the other is with a white silhouette on it. So whichever one suits your fancy. So go to our website and check that out as well. Well, I have to share this with you because, after all, we're kind of family, right? So yesterday, my wife and I come downstairs first thing in the morning. We look out in our yard, and there's this long gray thing in the yard, about 3.5-4 feet long. And it turns out that it is the skin of a snake. A snake, while we were sleeping, a snake crawled into our yard and shed his considerable length skin. And of course, I'm thinking, because I've heard, believe it or not, folks, that where we live, that Virginia in general has rattlesnakes. In fact, a guy told me a story about he and two
I'm nowhere close to a perfect man, and it takes a supernatural love to even understand that beyond the walls, behind the mask and confident smile, was a broken man trying to grow up and make life worthwhile. And I know there were times that you probably shouldn't, but I thank you for always loving me. And I know anyone else, they probably wouldn't, so I thank you for always loving me. Now I know there were days I'd look at myself, I felt like less of a person compared to everyone else. What about this flaw? Too big, too small? Can I exchange? And trying to make up for where I fell short, I let sin slip away. But when I look in the mirror and don't like what I see, oh, I just think.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. I'm in the same location I was last time I did this, and it was fine. And this time we seem to be having a little bit of a glitch, but you forgive me for that. We should be fine now. We've made a little adjustment in our location, and this should be working out just fine. But at any rate, I don't know how far I got in the story until we broke away. But so we found this 3.5-foot snakeskin in our yard. And, of course, I wanted to make sure that it wasn't a rattlesnake or some kind of poisonous snake. So what I did was to take a picture of it and send it to a snake expert to find out, okay, well, just what kind of snake is this? And the guy wrote me back and said, it's a harmless rat snake. They grow pretty big, but they're harmless to human beings. They eat rodents. And, of course, you'll find them in, around wooded areas and around, you know, a lot of where there's a lot of trees and grass and water as well. And I thought, what's the spiritual significance of this? You know what the spiritual significance is? You don't always catch Satan in what he's doing, but he always leaves a trail. You know, he always leaves a trail. Because the aftermath of what he does is always something bad. It's fear, it's death, it's destruction. It's something that simply serves to undermine the creation of Almighty God and his plan for mankind. Now, what does that have to do with the radio program today? Well, I thought you all would be interested to know that my wife and I found a snake skin, because it doesn't happen every day. That means he decided to shed that skin right on our property. And of course, a 3.5-foot snake, that's a pretty big snake too. You know, I mean, that's no little baby. But of course, I immediately began to think, you know, because we know the snake represents the devil. And it brought me to what we're going to talk about today, because I'll tell you something, folks, and I really believe this. I believe that Pete Buttigieg is a snake in America's garden. I'm very serious about that. I want you to hear what he says about Christianity and the Bible and his view of why he is on track and he is being a good Christian and the rest of us are not. And then I want to share with you some scriptures. Let's take a listen to this.
You said something rather strong about the president, that you said it's hard to look at his actions and believe that they are the actions of somebody who believes in God. How do you square that assessment with the fact that the evangelical Christian community is so devoted to his candidacy?
Well, it's something that really frustrates me because the hypocrisy is unbelievable. Here you have somebody who not only acts in a way that is not consistent with anything that I hear in scripture or in church, where it's about lifting up the least among us and taking care of strangers, which is another word for immigrants, and making sure that you're focusing your effort on the poor, but also personally how you're supposed to conduct yourself. Not chest-thumping look-at-me-ism, but humbling yourself before others.
Folks, Pete Buttigieg actually has the unmitigated gall to act like he is the paragon of virtue and the rest of us are just hypocrites because, for example, we believe in the sovereignty of American borders. We believe that people should not be able to come into our country illegally. That has nothing to do with the being willing to treat well strangers in our midst. Those are two entirely different things. That's just like suggesting somebody breaks into your house, you should have them sit down and feed them dinner, because after all, the Bible requires that you treat strangers well. Well, that's not what the Bible's talking about. But so he's completely twisting scripture. But I thought it might be helpful, since he's going to cite what the Bible requires of Christians, and going to condemn the president, and by the way, and condemn Christians who support the president. This president, while he's been far from perfect, because no human being is, but this president has stood up for life. This president has stopped this stuff, this transgender mess in the military. This president has stood up for the First Amendment rights of Christians and defended our right, as he puts it, to be ourselves. This president has stopped the IRS from trying to punish Christians and conservatives for our point of view. This president has been far, far more friendly and supportive of the Christian community than the prior president was. Let's put it that way. We have plenty of justification as Christians for supporting this president. Understanding, he's not Jesus. He's not the Messiah. He's the President of the United States. And his policies have been far more friendly to the Christian community than anything that Pete Buttigieg and his ilk have come up with. But since he's going to cite the scripture, how about this, Pete, Mayor Pete? How about this in terms of what the scripture says and about hypocrisy? Just got a few texts here I'm going to share with you all. Since he brought it up, Leviticus 18, 22 and 23 say this: you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. It puts homosexuality in the same category as bestiality. That's not Bishop Jackson. That's what the Bible is saying. And Leviticus 20:13 says, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, we understand that under the new covenant, we're in the age of grace and Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins. But that is the penalty for those under the law, for those who refuse to repent and believe Jesus Christ. It says that behavior is worthy of death. Well, how about that? How about those scriptures, Mayor Pete? Yeah, think on that for a few minutes. We'll be back in a moment.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, We took the spices that we'd prepared and we went into the tomb. We found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When we went in, we didn't find the body of our Lord Jesus.
Who took him? Where is he?
Who took him?
Why do you look for the living among the dead?
Where's Jesus?
He's not here. He has risen.
Jesus was alive. He's alive.
Jesus was betrayed, abandoned, mocked, beaten, and then crucified on a cross for sinners like you and me. The Son of God was buried, and after 3 days, he rose from that grave. Urban Family Talk encourages you to rejoice in the glorious reality that our God is a living God.
When asked if he was the Messiah, Jesus answered the Jewish leaders with a loaded phrase, "I am." That's the name God told Moses to use when people asked who sent him. Dr. Tony Evans says there's a particular reason for that choice. He'll tell us what it is as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
God has 85 names in the Old Testament. Each name is designed to describe a different element of who God is or what God does. When God wanted to relate to his creation, he gave a new name. That is the name Yahweh, which we call Jehovah. So when you read your Bible and you see the name God, you have to look at the spelling to know which Hebrew word he's talking about. If you see G-O-D, that's generally Elohim, the creator God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. If when you read your Bible, you see capital L, small o, small r, small d, that is generally Adonai, the one who's in charge. When you read your Bible and you read the letter capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is generally Yahweh, the covenant-keeping, relatable God. So we should not be surprised that Jesus took God's relational name to explain who he was to people since he left heaven to relate to mankind.
The Bible describes Jesus as standing at the door of your heart, knocking, waiting to relate to you personally. Visit TonyEvans.org, click on the top menu, and follow the Jesus link, and discover the amazing difference it can make in your life when you open that door. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Wake up, America. It's The Awakening. The Awakening. With Bishop E.W. Jackson on Urban Family Talk.
And we're back. The number here is 866-963-2037. I have not yet checked Turbin, but I will get back to you all. I want to share another clip with you all. And then another couple of scriptures, because I just want to, for all of those leftists listening, for all of those who are entering the program, I want them to understand, we don't have an opinion about homosexuality and transgenderism. We have the Bible about it. And those are two entirely separate things. Everybody else, Buttigieg and all of his cronies, they have an opinion about these things, based, frankly, upon the fulfillment of their own wicked, twisted thinking, hearts, lust. We don't have any of that. We have the Word of God on it. We don't get to have an opinion on what God has already said. All we get to do is to agree with the Lord. So here's another clip. This is a very, very short one, so pay close attention because it goes by very, very fast. But I want you to hear what he says.
For years. And if I had not deployed to Afghanistan, I might never have found the courage to come out. My marriage to Chasten has made me a better man. And yes, Mr. Vice President, it has moved me closer to God.
His marriage to a man has moved him closer to God? Well, maybe the God who's represented by that snakeskin that I found in my yard, but not the God of the Bible, because God is not schizophrenic. You can't be moved closer to God through sin, and God condemns what he's doing as sin. So this man is deeply deluded, because if what he says is true, now let's just be brutally frank and direct about this. If what he says is true, the Bible is a lie. Now, it's just that plain and simple. If what he says is true, the Bible is a lie. And the word says, though God be true, every man is a liar. So who do you choose to believe? Who do I choose to believe? I choose to believe God and his word. And they, you know, the homosexual community likes to say, the activists like to say that the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality, doesn't really talk about that. Folks, I've counted close to 30 scriptures, and that, not all of them, but close to 30 scriptures that I saw in which it talks about homosexuality and condemns it. I just gave you a couple out of the book of Leviticus. Here's another one in 1 Kings 14:24. It says, and there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. That word perverted means sodomite, and in some cases specifically male temple prostitutes in the temples of Baal. Here's 1 Kings 15:12. It's talking about the revival of Josiah. King Josiah says he banished, oh, but this may be Asa, says he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And this one is Josiah, 2 Kings 23:6-7. Says he, Josiah, brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the brook Kidron and ground it to ashes and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women waved hangings for the wooden image. In other words, they had brought that mess into the temple of God in the same way Pete Buttigieg is trying to bring homosexuality into the church of God. They brought that mess into the temple of God, and Josiah cast it out of there. So he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons. That's where they actually had homosexual sex in the temple of God, claiming that they were doing this as an act of worship of God. That's exactly what Pete Buttigieg has just said when he says his relationship with a man married to another man has drawn him closer to God. He's no different than a temple prostitute. In spiritually, it's no different. He's claiming that engaging in what God condemns somehow brings him closer to God. That's what the temple prostitutes were there for. They were there to persuade people, to make people believe that going into the temple and having perverse sex in the temple somehow made you closer to God. Now, how about reading that, Mayor Pete? I have a feeling he wants to throw these verses of the Bible out. It says in Judges 19:20-22, it says, this is where, of course, this man who visited Gibeon ends up having his concubine raped by the men from the tribe of Benjamin who first wanted to rape him. And here's what this says about that. It says, the old man said, peace be with you. Let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square. So he brought him into his house and gave him fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. And as they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, that word perverted means these were homosexuals, these were sodomites, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. Yeah. This was an abomination to God. And these people under covenant with God of the tribe of Benjamin were so caught up in homosexuality that this new man in town, they wanted to have sex with him. And his host would not allow it to happen. And I won't go through the whole story, but let's get to the conclusion of it. Judges 20:12-13 say, then the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, What is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now therefore deliver up the men, the perverted men who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Bring us these perverted men. See, look, folks, let's just tell it like it is, as they say. If you don't repent and receive Jesus Christ as your true Lord and Savior, which means you renounce sin and you renounce the past, and you continue in this, I'm proud of who I am, God made me who I am, and you, these folks continue to say they're homosexuals, they're proud of it, and they're going, that's the way they are, and everybody's got to deal with that and bow down to that and all of this nonsense. These people are going to die and go to hell because there's only one penalty that is fit for that, and the penalty is death. Now, I'm not talking about hurting anybody or killing anybody. I'm not talking about physical violence against people. I'm talking about the eternal death. I'm talking about eternal damnation for your sin. See, nobody's going to hell because they're homosexual. Nobody's going to hell because they're a drunkard. Nobody's going to hell because they're a liar. People are going to go to hell because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ's death on the cross for their sins and refuse to repent and turn away from that wickedness and allow him to be their Savior and their Lord. It's not the sin that's going to condemn them to hell, except the sin of refusing the sacrifice that's already been made for that sin. And when you proclaim that sin as normal and healthy and right, and that you're proud of it, you can't possibly be repentant, and you can't possibly go to heaven. So Mayor Pete, deal with that. And all of your followers, deal with that. How about this one in Deuteronomy 22:5 for all the transgender nonsense is going on? Quote, a man shall not wear anything that pertains to a woman, shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Now you all, we know, my wife sometimes around the house will slip into my slippers. We know that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about men trying to dress like their women and women trying to dress like their men. That's an abomination to God. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 through 11 say the following. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Folks, Pete Buttigieg is a snake in America's garden because he is trying to persuade Americans that his sin is righteousness, that his evil is good, that this perverse relationship that he's in is somehow something that we all ought to model. In fact, I think we may have the clip, but I'll get to that next in the next segment. I think he, in one clip, he actually says, you know, I really live a normal life. He said, I've got a wonderful marriage. I got a couple of dogs. He said, the only difference between me and most people is I'm married to another man. Well, that makes all the difference in the world. That's not normal. It's not healthy. It's not right. And it's not something that any Americans ought to model. It's something that Americans ought to eschew. And how about this one? Romans 1:20. Now, this is, I tell you what, this is a long passage. So you know what? I'm going to skip that one for now. And we'll come back to that. Let me just say this, folks. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know that. Every one of you within the sound of my voice knows that. But this scripture that I just read tells the ultimate conclusion. But we were washed. but we were sanctified, but we were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you can't be washed and sanctified and justified and be out there proclaiming that your sin is somehow good and that the Bible and what it says about your sin is a lie that should not be believed. In fact, what you're going to do with that mentality is bust hell wide open. I don't know what this man believes. And look, I don't want to make him. He's already been made by the mainstream media call celeb primarily because he is a homosexual. And, you know, they're just in love with that. They just think that's the greatest thing since Carter's little liver pills. Gay is the new black and all this nonsense. This is the new victim class. And oh, you know, as one guy on Fox said, this guy who does this populist show, I think, on Saturday night. So isn't it just great? Isn't it just wonderful? Ugh, no, it's not great. It's not wonderful. Because the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. In order for us to agree as a nation that that's wonderful, we have to forget God. Or we have to, even worse, call God a liar. Call the Bible a lie. And we as Christians have simply got to continue to cry aloud and spare not and show our people their iniquity and the house of America their sin. I mean, we don't have any choice in the matter. And look, and even if nobody listens, even if the whole country goes headlong into this deception and this delusion, at least when we stand before God, we will be able to hear him say, well done. We will be able to hear him say, you did what I wanted you to do. You told the truth. You made it plain. Folks, let me update my turban here because I'm not getting you all yet, but I will do that because I want to hear what you all are saying, because this stuff is, it's abominable. It really is. It really is. And you know, it's worse. I would just rather he just say, no, I don't believe in God. No, I don't, you know, I believe in me. I believe in what I want to do. But he wants to couch himself in the righteousness of God with this, you know, here we go, this syrupy, sweet nonsense that he spews out like, well, let me see, what are you all saying? Let me go to what you all are saying in a few moments I've got left here. Yeah, guest 736 says, if Pete becomes president, God forbid, his whole agenda will be AGBTQ and the alphabet goes on. Well, right. Now, T.A. said adultery and homosexuality are all sins. There's no question about that. There's no question about that. There's only one difference. That is, one, the Bible calls this sin. I say it is a dual sin because it is not only a sin against God's moral order, which is one man, one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony. It is a sin against God's natural order, which is men with men, women with women, is a violation of God's natural order. So it's a sin on two different levels. And even though adultery is sin and it's wrong and it's to be condemned, there's no question about it. It is not unnatural for a man to be attracted to a woman. That is not unnatural. If that man is married and he's attracted to a woman to whom he's not married, that is immoral. It is not unnatural. But this same-sex attraction is unnatural in the sight of God. It's a violation of God's natural order as well as his moral order. And I believe that's why God calls it abomination, the same way he calls bestiality an abomination. Because that's not natural for a human being to be attracted sexually to an animal. That's unnatural. And so it is a double sin in that sense. Wow, guest 592 says, men in God's church should not prey on any woman in the house of the Lord. Amen. I agree with that. How many of you can say musicians are not those you preach against? Well, look, you got a point. I can, because I've made clear that I'm not having that. And I know some other preachers who have too. Back in a moment.
The This is Uncommon Moments. Here's former Super Bowl winning NFL coach Tony Dungy and his wife Lauren sharing from their book, Uncommon Marriage.
We joke a lot about getting advice from our families on major decisions. Even when we were dating, I could see that Tony was always good about seeking input from wise counselors.
When we bought our house in Pittsburgh, Lauren's family was there to help us, and as always, everybody weighed in. I told Lauren I was fine with that. I knew they were giving advice not because they didn't have confidence in me, but because they loved us and wanted to help.
You know, family and friends can be great sources of support, but Tony and I have found the best counselor, our Heavenly Father. If you're facing a big decision in your marriage, seek the Lord in prayer.
Tony and Lauren Dungy, authors of Uncommon Marriage, learning about lasting love and overcoming life's obstacles together. Discover more at CoachDungy.com.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "The sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do." In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for His service. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fool because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be His ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
There was a time where I was in the middle of doing something, and the Lord just really impressed upon my heart that I needed to buy my wife some flowers. I hadn't thought about it, hadn't done it in a while. I walked into the door of our little small apartment, and I have the flowers in my hand, and my wife's eyes connect with mine. Her eyes just well up with tears, and I immediately start thinking, what's wrong? What happened? What's going on? And she said, Abe, I have been wanting some flowers, but I know what our financial situation is, and I didn't want to be an additional burden on you because I know things are tight now. And man, it was just a moment where my wife and I just fall more deeply in love with the Lord and more deeply in love with one another.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on Urban Family Talk.
By relying on Him. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, I thank You. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord.
Shaking believers from their slumber. Back to the Awakening.
The Awakening.
With Bishop E.W. Jackson on Urban Family Talk.
Well, the number here is 866-963-2037. And you all check out Churbin, urbanfamilytalk.com/Churbin/Churbin, or just go to the website, click on the menu button, go down to the next to the last item, click on Churbin. We've got a guest, number 592. Not identified, who is apparently quite angry with men and keeps trying to compare what I'm discussing with men who have been unfaithful to their wives. And there are a couple of problems with what Guest 592 is saying. It just strikes me that Guest 592 is a little angry about something, because Guest 592 says the men that made these homosexuals are just as guilty as you that leave a woman when he impregnates her. Well, I said that none is righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand that. But we're talking about Christians. And I know that Christians do not live their lives, if they really know God, do not live their lives stepping out on their wives, okay? So when you say you men, I don't know whether you're trying to hurl this accusation at all Christian men or at all men in general. Either way, that would be wrong. And there's a lot of comments here that I would just encourage you all to check out. And what she's pointing out is truly wrong. But here again, I think it was T.A. who pointed out one of the differences is I don't see an adultery pride movement in the country. I don't see a fornication pride movement in the country. I do see a quote-unquote gay pride movement in the country. In other words, these folks are not just doing sin. They're trying to recruit into the sin. They're trying to demand that everybody approve the sin, acknowledge the sin. I mean, you can't watch a show on television now without an effort to propagandize how wonderful homosexuality is. And I try to watch stuff. I just turn it off because I don't want to hear it. That's got to be part of the storyline now. You've got to somehow use entertainment to inculcate, indoctrinate, propagandize people into buying into this stuff. I don't see that happening with adultery, although there's plenty of that that's displayed, no doubt, in the entertainment culture. But this is on a whole different level. Often, even tales of adultery, even in today's modern culture, tales of adultery are often a cautionary tale where people get into profound difficulties and trouble. But no, homosexuality is depicted as just the most wonderful thing that anybody could ever do. Look, I got one more clip, and this to me is the pièce de la résistance. This takes the cake. You probably heard it before. You do well to hear it again. I want you to hear how blasphemous this man is. And here again, I don't ever hear an adulterer talking this way. I'm not saying there aren't those people out there who might do that. But this man is now a public figure running for president of the United States. And listen to what he says about his perverse lifestyle.
Then you know that that message, that this idea that there is something wrong with you, is a message that puts you at war not only with yourself, but with your maker. And speaking only for myself, I can tell you that if me being gay was a choice, it was a choice that was made far, far above my pay grade. And that's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand. That if you got a problem with who I am, your problem is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator.
Yeah, your quarrel is with his creator because his creator made him gay. Well, here again, his creator must not be the God of the Bible. Because if his creator, if he's claiming his creator is the God of the Bible, then God is schizophrenic and the Bible is a lie. You all understand what I'm saying? If what he's saying is true, look, you can't have it both ways, folks. If what he's saying is true, then what the Bible says is a lie. Now let's look at what this is the last scripture I wanted to share with you in this segment, and then I'll come back to you all's comments. And by the way, call me, 866-963-2037, guest 592, who seems to have an issue with men, and maybe you feel I should be more condemning of men. That's not what this issue to me is entirely separate and apart, because this is an effort to transform the entire culture, and this is an Isaiah 5 moment. It's trying to make darkness light, bitterness sweet, evil good, and it's trying to, people being wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, and trying to convince the rest of us to go along. And no, forgive me, not convince, trying to force the rest of us to go along, try to make the rest of us go along. But listen to what the book of Romans says about this circumstance. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind or a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, how about that, Mayor Pete? How about that, LGBTQ community? That's not Bishop Jackson's opinion. That's what the Word of God says. See, I don't have the luxury of an opinion about homosexuality. I've got the Word of God on it. I've got the truth on it. And so what exactly are we Christians supposed to do? We're supposed to submit ourselves to a lie and deny and blaspheme God along with them, because what Pete Buttigieg said was not only a lie out of the pit of hell, it was a direct blasphemy against God, because he's giving credit to God for a work of the devil. The devil makes homosexuals, not God. The devil makes transgenders, not God. He perverts their minds and perverts their thinking. And who knows, he maybe messes with them physiologically. They get molested at a young age and confused in their sexuality. And then everybody's now expected to celebrate it. You know, June is Gay Pride Month. And every year that Barack Obama was president, he issued a proclamation commending the so-called gay community and Gay Pride Month and telling everybody they should be proud to be gay. And that is a direct violation of and a rebellion against the Word of God. So, and here's the last, because people say, well, Jesus never said anything about it. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, Jesus said this: Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Didn't say anything about some male joining with some male. Didn't say anything about a marriage being two husbands or two wives. It's a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, a father and a mother. Not a man and a man, two husbands, a woman and a woman, two wives, two mothers, two fathers. No. So Pete Buttigieg can go around all he wants proclaiming his pseudo-Christianity, because that's what it is, pseudo. But the Word of God speaks quite clearly. And like I said, I don't think those are all the scriptures, but that's just a smattering. So this is not something where you pick out once, well, there's one little scripture over here in a corner that seems to imply, no. It is throughout the Bible. God gave us rules of sexual morality, and anything in violation of those rules is sin, period. Some of you said if Mayor Pete were to become president, oh my goodness gracious, I can't even fathom that. I really can't. I cannot even fathom that. That would be an unmitigated disaster for this country. If somebody, and not just him. By the way, I didn't play one clip for you, but there was one clip that in which he said, the day will come when there'll be a transgender president. Yeah, right. There was one clip. I'm sure you can find it. You YouTube it. But yeah, he said, you know, when the day comes that there's a transgender president, and he goes, because he was basically talking about how American could be such a blessing to the world. He didn't use the word blessing, but so can lead the world. Because when we send a transgender president overseas, then people will know, well, if that's America, they'll know to follow our lead because, you know, America's so influential. Yeah. So see, already he's got in his mind a transgender president. So, I mean, what, Lord have mercy on us. What are you all saying here? Oh, yeah, you know what? T is dealing with guest 592. Well, and T.A. said, when a homosexual says Jesus didn't say anything about homosexuals, it's all an excuse because they don't even do what Jesus clearly said. And Jesus did say something against homosexuality. I think that verse makes very clear what the rules are. You know, if you want to know what God's will is, go back to the beginning. And Jesus said, in the beginning, he made them male and female. So to me, that's crystal clear. But you have to remember, too, Jesus was completing the old covenant. He was finishing up. He was wrapping that up. He was fulfilling that. And then he left it to his disciples to unfold the revelation of what the new covenant meant. He inaugurated the new covenant on the night before his crucifixion. But the unfolding revelation of the new covenant was to be done by the Holy Spirit speaking through holy men of God, his disciples, his apostles, who spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance and transcribed these things and gave us the revelation of the new covenant in its fullness. Jesus wrapped up the old and inaugurated the new. And then the apostles laid out the moral and spiritual revelation of the new covenant. But see, I'm sure these folks would tell you that everything that the Apostle Paul wrote, they would say you can discard. And my response is, well, then why would you pay any attention to any of it? Oh, it's Burger King religion. Have it your way. Smorgasbord religion. Just go and pick what you want and throw out what you don't. And, you know, look, I would have, frankly, more respect for a homosexual who's a candidate to just say, yeah, look, I'm not trying to serve God. I don't believe in all that. I'm doing my thing, and I think what I'm doing is okay, and I invite anybody who agrees with me to support me. But to try to drape yourself in the veneer of faith in Jesus Christ and then try to condemn people who you claim are being hypocrites because they're not living according to what you say the scripture says, and here you are, a great big poster child for absolute rebellion against God because of the way you've chosen to live. I mean, give me a break. And look, I don't hate the man. I love him. I pray for him. I really do. I just don't want my country to ever follow the abominable leadership that he's offering. Because, folks, Pete Buttigieg is a snake in the garden. Listen, God bless you all. Love you all. Thank you for praying. Thank you for staying at it. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.